Today's scripture comes from Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. This is what the Lord says: Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things, and so they came into being? Declares the Lord. These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit, and who tremble at my word. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
So happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, grandmom, and may God give you strength, wisdom to continue to witness and bring glory to Him. So today is Mother's Day. So I'm going to preach from Isaiah 66. I'm sure you don't hear often someone will use Isaiah 66 as a Mother's Day sermon. So Isaiah 66 is the last chapter of the book that we have been studying for quite some time, probably almost a year now. So we come to the end of it. The book of Isaiah is a very special Old Testament book. So very often people call it the fifth gospel besides the four gospels in the New Testament. It is because in this book, even though it's an Old Testament book, but in it, it portrayed the coming of the Messiah so vividly that skeptics very often say that Isaiah was written after the birth of Jesus, because it is almost impossible, according to human logic, that someone several hundred years before the birth of Christ can describe the coming of the Messiah so accurately to the details. I think throughout the last several months, I think you have all learned from various books of Isaiah, especially Isaiah 53, that it prophesies the coming of this Savior, and it's so accurate, so detailed. And Isaiah 66 is, I find, the section, there's a section on mother, is very very touching. In the Old Testament, we always see God as a king, majestic king, a judge. But it's a section in Isaiah, it describing God as a mother. It is not the first or the only book in the Old Testament that describes the love of God as a mother's love. But there's no other book that describes in so much details as God as a mother. So let's look at what Isaiah is talking about mother's love here. In verse 7, start off in verse 7, as a whole section here. Before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pains come upon her, she delivers a son. Isaiah is describing the physical sacrifice of a mother giving birth to a child. Both the father and the mother love their child. I'm sure Lick Hang loved just as much as Jonadab, their child. Same for Cynthia and myself. We both love our two children. But for the mother, her love is special because there is a physical suffering she has to go through. 10 months. So one pregnant mother-to-be described to me, so I said, how do you feel like being pregnant? She said, well, it's almost like carrying a watermelon in your stomach. 24 hours a day for 10 months. Well, maybe not the first month, but it is a great sacrifice. So we have to thank our mother. Not only that, she loves us, care for us, nurture for us, but she has to go through physical pain to give birth, labor. Going through labor is, again, a man will never know, but it's painful, as any mother would have been able to describe to you. So the mother has to go through labor to give birth, have to go through pain to deliver a child. And this is a physical sacrifice. And then Isaiah move on. And then, now that you have a baby, the mother will nurse, feed the baby, and be satisfied at her comforting breast. It's describing in such a intimate a detail. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. Mother feeds the baby, and now we have a grandson. So all this bring back memory, especially for Cynthia. It brings back my memory as well. Our memory is some many years ago now, but our grandson brings back all those memories. So there was a time that the mother had to stop everything and go and feed the baby. 7:30, now is this time to wash up the baby, feed the baby, and put him to sleep, unless the pathfinders are meeting in our apartments, and they never seem to want to leave. Right? But there's always a schedule, 2:30, right? 2:30, then we have to feed the baby, and afternoon nap. So the mother nurse, so that the child will be satisfied. It's abundance, overflowing of milk. Drink deeply and delight and be happy. Mother provides, feeds, nurtures. Mother provides security, intimacy, and you will be nursed. You will be carried on the hip and fondled on the knees. This is caring, security, hugging the baby. I love hugging Mikey. Again, who doesn't? What they like to hug babies. Babies are so cute. The mother provides a relationship, provision, protection, intimacy, caring for the child. And verse 13. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. Here is mentioned three times: comfort, comfort, comfort. So when a child is hurt, when a child is scared, when a child feels insecure, and normally the child will run to the mother will hold the child tight, listen, wipe the child's tears, give the child strength, give the child protection, and the mother will never stop loving. And this is how God loves his people. But so today is Mother's Day, so let's all thank our earthly mother. Mother's love is the closest to God's love on earth. I would say that it is above Father's love. because the father never have to give birth to the child. This one part, that the father can never match that of the mother. So we look at all the love that we see on earth, even love of our spouse cannot match that of the love of our mother. Tenderness, closeness, emotion, emotional assurance. So how should we affirm our mother's love? We have to honor our mother, honor our parents, honor our mother as a caregiver, and we have to look after our aging mother, aging parents. And we have to respect, the Bible teaches us to honor, to care for them. And I find this Charlie Bang cartoon, I think it represents really well how we should respect our mother. I think that's a leanness, right? And they asked Charlie Bang, has she ever asked before? So Charlie Bang said, not really. Are you going to do it? Absolutely. Wow, he's so certain. I've never seen Charlie Bang so certain on anything. Absolutely. I like the word absolutely. I mean, why not? I think I owe it to her. Don't I? Show them now. Show them how. That's very nice of you, Charlie Bang. Not every kid would let his mom pitch just because it's Mother's Day. Now, if you, it may sound funny when you first read this, but if you read this more carefully, it is more than just funny. That's very deep meaning in it. If you play baseball, you know that the pitcher is probably the most important player in the team. It's a very important role. And to win the game, you don't put anybody. I'm not sure about Charlie Bang's mother. I don't know how good she is as a pitcher. But here, Charlie Bang put his mom as a pitcher. And it's absolutely, it's no doubt beyond any vision. Absolutely, I owe it to her. And this is respect. Absolutely, show your respect, honor, care for your mother, your parents, to the respect, and encourage him. Encourage her here. Show them how to pitch. I don't know how well she is a pitcher, but Charlie Bang here is absolutely, he wants to support her mom, care, respect, honor. And this is what our mother would like to receive from us. Not just on Mother's Day, but on any day. But you probably all know that this passage from Isaiah is not just talking about mother's love. It's actually talking about God's love. God's love goes beyond the love of a mother. God's love beyond parents' love. So how shall we respond to God's love? All good things come from God. And Isaiah 66, verse 1 and 2, it is really the highlight, the climax of the book of Isaiah. So if you miss today's sermon, you miss the punchline, the most important point of the book Isaiah. It is about God's love to us. It is kind of unusual. in the Old Testament book that it would be God's love would be described as a mother's love. So how shall we respond? And it is the secret, I shouldn't say it's a secret, but the requirement is in verse 1 and verse 2. So if we forget everything that we have taught for the last 12 months on the book of Isaiah, remember these two verses. This is what God desires from us. And what is that? Verse 1, we just read this morning. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? Isaiah 66, the prophet is talking to the people. They have returned from Babylon. They are in great despair. They are greatly discouraged. When they go back to their hometown, the walls have failed, the temple been destroyed. They want to rebuild the temple. They want to rebuild their worship rituals. They are trying to rebuild their religion, their worship to God. But the Lord here is giving them a new dimension, a new way of worship. And he's talking something that's very controversial, I would say, at that time. Because at that time in the Old Testament, the people of Israel, when they think of worship, they think of Jerusalem, even today. They think of going there, all the rituals, all these ceremonies they have to follow. But sometimes today, we have this mentality as well. We have to come together to worship on Sundays. But sometimes we think of that the worship is the program, the music, the sermon. If there's a good sermon, good music, then it's a good worship. But the Lord here saying, it's more than that. Worship is more than that. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What is he trying to say? That everything under the earth, under this heaven, above the earth, everything is owned by God. The transcendence of God. No human work can contain the Creator, not the temple, not this church building. God is not controlled or restricted. Man cannot satisfy God with their own strength. They try to build a temple to worship, but God's saying that I am not being restricted, contained by a building. What temple can you build for me? For my hand made all these things. Everything that you see is created by me. I am the creator. Thus, all these things came into being, declares the Lord. So the Lord is telling his people that what I desire is not the building, the rituals, even the music, the programs. What I desire is your heart. But to this one I will look. To him who is humble, a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. To the people in the Old Testament, this is controversial. What do you mean? When we have to worship, we have to go to the temple. What do we mean? It's just our heart. The Lord is saying that I look for people in the worship, people who are humble. Humble people. People who are willing to bow, have a humble spirit. Blessed are those who are poor in the spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God wants us to come to him as a baby, as a little child. That's why in the middle of Isaiah, he starts describing his love for us as like a mother. So God wants us to come to worship him as a small little baby, as a child, as a humble person, and with a spirit of repentance. And we need to come to God like that tax collector in Luke 18, chapter 18, verse 13 to 14. And Jesus tells a parable that contrasts the self-righteous man with one who is trembled at the word of God. The tax collector stood at a distance, not daring to lift up his eyes to the sky, but beat his chest and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." A humble, contrite, repenting spirit. This is the kind of worship God wants from us. God wants worship from us. That's what Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, is telling us over and over again. But at the end, at the last chapter of Isaiah, God tells the people, what kind of worship I want from you. It's like a little child coming to the mother, humble, trembling, weak. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Not come to God, I'm so good, I'm so gifted, I'm so proud, I'm good in so many things. The church needs me. I am a super member. I'm good in preaching. I'm good in organizing, good in leadership, good in many things. God wants us to come to him like this tax collector. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Trembling at God's word. Trembling. We all love to go to Sunday school. We like to study the Bible, like to learn. Some of us may even go to seminaries to study Greek, Hebrew, study theology. All these are good. We need that. But we need even more than that. We need to tremble. Fear. Tremble meaning fear. Fearful. Afraid. Fear not because of scary, but because of the reverence, respect of God's word. Well, often we become a sermon critique. That's a food critique. You go to a restaurant, you give ratings to the food. Four-star, three-star Michelin restaurant. You become the worship, sometimes we are like that. We become a worship critique. Today's worship team is good because team is leading. And it's a good team. So four-star, 4 out of 5, good. The sermon is okay. Not too bad, 3 out of 5. So to the average is 3.5. So it's not a bad worship. But we have to come to God's word, not as a critique. We have to come to God's word trembling. God's word is judging us, scrutinizing you. Are you learning from God's word? Last week's sermon, did you learn anything? Did God speak to you last week? Did God touch your heart? Did you do something God did not like? Were you trembling because you cannot follow God's word? And this is what God wants from a worshiper. It's a relationship, not a process. Worship is a relationship. So in the New Testament, now we understand. But for people in the Old Testament, they do not really, cannot comprehend, they don't understand what is Isaiah talking about. Yet, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in the truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. God loves us like a mother, more than a mother. A mother will love her child more than other children, I'm sure. Even though she loves all children. But God loves all of us, all the people in the world. Isaiah 66, 7 and 8 is talking about a new worship community. Before she goes into labor, she gives birth, before, pay attention to the word, before the pains come upon her, she delivers the son. What is Isaiah talking about? Before. Who has ever heard of such things? Who has ever seen things like this? Can a country be born in a day? A country born in a day? It takes hundreds of years, if not thousands, for a country to be born. Or a nation be brought forth in a moment. Yet no sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to her children. What is Isaiah talking about here? He's talking about a new worship community, not just the Jewish people, not just the Israelites. A new worshiping community will be born one day, just like that, before the mother gives the birth, the baby comes out. He's talking about the birth of the church in the book of Acts. The church was born when Holy Spirit come upon them. The church was born when the gospel is preached to them. In the book of Acts, we witness the birth of a church. Just like that, the Holy Spirit came. So Isaiah here is prophesying a new worshiping community. God's love is not only for the Israelites, not only for the Jewish people, not only for the people of God in the Old Testament. Isaiah here is prophesying that God's love is going to extend to all the Gentiles as well, all the other nations. This is hard. This is hard for God's people, the Israelites, to comprehend. And I will send some of those who survive to the nations, to Tarsus, to all these distant islands that have not heard of my fame or seen my glory. They will proclaim my glory among the nations. And God wants the Jewish people, the Jews, to go to all nations, all the Gentiles who have not heard of His name, have not seen His glory. So God wants us to bring the gospel to all people, all nations. So Isaiah here is prophesying something that is difficult for the people who are reading the book to understand at that time. And they will bring all the people from all nations to worship Him. A new worshiping community is born. So that's why we Christians, we have this mandate, command. We have to bring all the people who have not seen, heard God's glory to His church. And what's even difficult for the listener to understand at that time is that, and I will also select some of them, the Gentiles, to be priests and Levites. This is shocking to them because the priests can only come from a special tribe of Israel. How dare the Gentiles can become priests and Levites? This broke the limitation that only the tribe of Levi could serve God and exemplifies the theology of the New Testament that everyone is a priest. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, all the believing people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. God's love extends to all people, to all nations on this earth, to ever, from to ever and eternity. And to Isaiah here is sounding like John in the book of Revelation, isn't it? For just as the new heavens and the new earth, which I make, will endure before me, so your offsprings and your name will endure. It's sounding like John's description in the book of the last book of New Testament, new heaven and new earth. God's love is going to extend to all nations forever, forever. And just like in Revelation, what John is describing, a new heaven and a new earth. And all the people on earth will come and worship him, can have a relationship with him. And it shall be from new moon to new moon and from Sabbath to Sabbath. That's no longer. That means we can worship God anytime, any day. And all mankind will come to bow down before me, says the Lord. Revelation 7 and 9. From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. They fell down on their face, says, before the throne and worshiped the God. Isn't this prophecy amazing? Isaiah is prophesying all this several hundred years before the birth of Christ. And all this is being fulfilled in today's, in the church era, for the church, all the believers, all the Christians. God's love is not just for you. God's love is for all people. And this love, God's love, can only be carry on to other people through you. So it is our job to share God's love with people around us, with people in this world. And this is what Isaiah is telling us today to do. God loves us like a mother. It's more than a mother. God's love is to all people. And God expects us to worship, but the worship is not our understanding, just coming to sing, to listen, but our worship is to humble, to go to him like a small child, trembling at his teachings. So I was going to end the message here and call it for the day. But then there's the last verse 24, that makes me really uncomfortable and seems to be placed at the wrong place. Should not be at the ending of the chapter, isn't it? Supposed to be a good ending, especially it's a Mother's Day sermon. Verse 24, I don't know why Isaiah put this in there. Suddenly, he changed his tune totally, but his fury will be shown to his enemies. See, the Lord is coming with fire, and his chariots are like a whirlwind. He will bring down his anger with, I skipped that this, okay. 24. Then they will go forth and look on the corpse of the man who have transgressed against me, for their worm will not die, and their fire will not be quenched, and they will be an abhorrence to all mankind. Ooh, this will make some of us very uncomfortable. And Jesus actually said this again, Mark 9:47. There the worms do not die, and the fire is unquenchable. So Isaiah 66 telling us God's love, but then he also reminded us God is righteous. If you do not accept God as your Savior, you could see judgment someday. I do not want to dwell on this. I believe most of us sitting here are Christians. So this doesn't apply to us, isn't it? Most of us, I think most of us, I know most of us here, this is for people who have not accepted Christ. But we are Christians. But this should be a reminder for us. One day we all go to heaven if we accept him as our Savior. We don't have to worry about verse 24. But when we go to see Christ, he will ask us questions. We are to be accountable as well. We will not see this fire. We will not see this scary scene. But we still have to be accountable. Verse 14 to 16. But his fury will be shown to his foes. See, the Lord is coming with fire, and his chariots are like a whirlwind. He will bring down his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For with fire and his sword, the Lord will execute judgment on all the people. For us Christians, the judgment is about reward. The judgment is about accountability. Everyone, when we come before the Lord, we have to put in a report card. We all see him face to face because we accepted him as our Savior. That's our assurance. Let's not lose sight on that. But God will ask us, what have you done for me? God is love, but he's also just. Those who consecrate and purify themselves. Isaiah is talking to the people of Israel. Those who consecrate and purify themselves. Who are these consecrate and purify themselves? These are the religious leaders. To go into the gardens, following one who is among those who eat the flesh of pigs, rats, and other unclean things. It's not talking about kitchen policy here. It's talking about this religious leader. They're supposed to lead the people, but they worship Jehovah, the God, but they also worship the pagan God. They mix the religions with the pagan worships. They will meet their end together with the one they follow. So even the people of Israel, their religious leaders, God will ask them to be accountable. Today's message is a message of love, but I cannot just give you half the gospel and skip the last verse. One day, we'll all see him because he's our Savior. But we have to be accountable. God gives us many spiritual gifts on earth. God loves us. Have we share our love with other people? or just keeping it to ourselves? To help you truly live for the Lord in this life. Those I care for are those who are humble, contrite in the spirit, and tremble at His word. God looks at whether fire can live life. The Apostle Paul said, our lives are built on foundation of Christ. Some people use gold, silver, and gemstones. Others use grass and straws. But one day, when we go through the fire, if any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. You still will be saved. You still go to heaven. Yes, so as through fire. But what is left after walking through the fire? Gold, silver, gemstones, or the ash of the burnt grass and straw? God is love, but He's also a just God. We come to Him as a small child, but we have to tremble at His word. So this is what Isaiah, the whole book of Isaiah, if you cannot remember, just remember this last few lines. We need to humble before God. We need to repent, always repent, a contrite spirit. Not just to study God's word, but to tremble at His word. Let's pray. Father God, we want to say thank you. You love us like a mother. For the earthly mother that you've given to all of us, we want to say thank you. Help us to love our mother and try, even though we will never be able to match, and try to match the love our mother has given to us. And above all, let us thank you for your love and help us to spread this love to other people. Help us to humble before you and come to you as a little baby, as a child, and find peace, security, and safety in you. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.